Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Halloween, Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Good to have you with us. On today's show, our General Manager of Arts and Culture, Cheryl Snyder, will report on New Member Month here at KTOO Public Media. Bill Williams of Southeast Senior Services will tell us about financial abuse prevention for elders. Roman Matoika and James Hoagland will highlight the Buddhist film series. And Michaela Moore and cast members from JDHS's production of MASH will preview the play. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Navajo Nation Council is holding a special session Tuesday to consider a bill allowing the controversial development of the Grand Canyon Escalade on the reservation. As KNAU's Ryan Heinches reports, the project would include a gondola to the Colorado River on the rim of the Grand Canyon.
According to the Navajo Speaker's Office, the legislation is the only item on the council's agenda. It would require the tribe invest $65 million in the project that would include an aerial tram to shuttle visitors more than 3,000 feet down to the confluence of the Colorado and Little Colorado Rivers. Escalade developers have also proposed a hotel and tourist resort in the remote area of the Navajo Nation on the east rim of the Grand Canyon. The bill was introduced last year but hasn't gained broad support among tribal lawmakers. The company Confluence Partners says the Escalade would strengthen the tribe's economy and create jobs. But a group opposing the development, called Save the Confluence, says it'll destroy the area's delicate environment and an area considered sacred by many Native Americans. The Hopi tribe believes their ancestors emerged there. The project would require the approval of two-thirds of council delegates. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
Friends of Dennis Banks are remembering his work in Indian Country. The 80-year-old passed away Sunday. As Lee Strubinger reports, Banks, a co-founder of the American Indian Movement, is credited with bringing AIM to South Dakota.
Dennis Banks was a key leader in both the Custer Courthouse riots and Wounded Knee occupation in 1973. Bill Means is from the Pine Ridge Reservation. Means joined Banks in many actions over the years. Means says Banks did a lot for Native communities, not only as an activist, but as a teacher and spiritual leader. He says Banks was a man who led by example.
He never did anything or expected anything from the people that he wouldn't do himself. You know, as most of the AIM leaders, he served time on behalf of the people for various demonstrations we had at Custer, in particular, and other places, where he put himself on the front lines rather than stand in the back. I think he'll be remembered as a great leader, a great speaker, and a great man.
Banks was Ojibwe and lived in the Leech Lake Reservation in Minnesota. He developed pneumonia following heart surgery earlier in October. Former South Dakota U.S. Senator Jim Aberesk met Banks during the Wounded Knee occupation in 73. Aberesk says he admired Banks.
He was a very soft-spoken person, which would surprise anybody who thought he was a member of AIM, you know. And he seemed wise. He knew a lot of things and spoke of them very calmly. So I was impressed with him, and I considered him a friend.
Family members say Banks will be buried near Leech Lake, Minnesota, with traditional services. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City, South Dakota.
In Wisconsin, Menominee Tribal Police are asking for people to dispose of candy collected on the reservation Sunday after a bag of what's believed to be crystal meth was turned into officers. Police say on Monday they received a complaint of a suspicious package located in a child's Halloween candy stash. It was a small bag containing powder, which police say tested positive for methamphetamine. The tribe has two community disposal sites for candy, which officers will oversee. The tribal college is hosting what's being called a safe trick or treat event for the community. Commissioners of a national investigation in Canada into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls are set to release an interim report in Ottawa. The commission has been hearing from families, communities, and organizations from across the country. Commissioners will hold a press conference Wednesday morning, which will be streamed online. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, advising us all to protect the circle of life. Help prevent the spread of the flu by getting a flu vaccine each year. Learn more at aaip.org.
Yate, the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Navajo Nation Advance Ed 2017 Fall Conference, November 4th and 5th. Information on this event and services at siabq.org. Hakoanet.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. I'm your host today, Scott Burton. In the studio now is our General Manager for Arts and Culture, Cheryl Snyder. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Hi, Scott, and happy Halloween to you.
Thank you. This very special Halloween edition of a Juno Afternoon. Let's see, it's October 31st, which means new member month here at KTOO Public Media is over. New member month, how did it come to be?
Well, first I'll say it's not quite over
yet. It's the last day, right?
It's the last day, so we still have several hours left to have those of you who've never signed on to the station before to do so today. But you're just asking me how this came about? Well, let's see. Well, first of all, I'll just say that membership is really the base of everything that we do here. Of all of the different funding sources that we have, it does make up the largest portion of funding. It's more than any of the wonderful businesses who sponsor our programming, more than the fundraising events that we do, more than state grants and federal grants. None of that matches what we raise here from individuals giving, and all of that goes right back into the programming. And it makes sense, right, Scott? This is, for those of us who love this service and depend on it, it makes sense that we be the ones to financially support it. So that is the base of our membership. And the reason why we decided to do this whole month just focusing on bringing in new members is because we're an organization that, you know, that grows and evolves. And in particular, we are one of the organizations, like many other state-funded organizations who do receive some state funding. And we've had to share in our portion of budget crunching and, you know, all of the belt tightening that's happening around the state. KTOO has lost more than $100,000, and we've trimmed a lot behind the scenes to make sure that what you get is still as good, but we also need to be raising some more money. And we thought, well, we know that there are a lot of people who have been intending to give and intending to sign on, so why don't we make it easy and focus a whole month to new members?
And it was sort of non-traditional, right? Like kind of a quiet drive style. What inspired that?
Yeah. Well, I think that we're going to still do a more traditional drive in December. And we had a lot of stuff going on. You've been hearing messages throughout the day, lots of voices from individuals who signed on as new members this year. It's been great to hear from them. And then just reminders. And then we've also made use of Facebook. And we thought that by just having this sort of not hitting you over the head with the message, but just having it consistent would be enough to encourage people to come on board. And it worked. We've had, it's roughly been about one new member a day has come on, and that's been terrific. And we do want to let you know that if you have been intending to, or maybe this is the first time you're hearing the message, if you sign on at any point today before midnight, you can still make good on the Hecla Mining Company Challenge Grant. They will match your gift 100%. So if you make a $50 contribution, that will actually equal $100 to the station. Also, in effect, no matter what level you give at, whether it's a $10 gift or a $100 gift, you will be eligible to just get a new member mug and a gift card for a coffee drink from Heritage Coffee.
Okay. As part of this drive, you spoke to a lot of new members and you recorded some voices. We've heard from a lot of folks, like you said. What sort of a takeaway, if there was one? Why were these people deciding to sign on?
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the folks who I talked to who came on as new members grew up with public media. Many of the givers this past month have been in their 20s, and they felt like they should have been doing it for a long time. And I, you know, that's fine if they want to take that on, like they should have done it before. But they just felt inspired now, kind of like, I've been listening for forever. Of course I want to support this great community service.
Okay. And it's not too late to sign on, right?
No.
Like right now.
Yes, you can do it now. Do
How
it any time today before
takes?
Midnight. Well, you want to go online to KTOO.org or KRNN.org. You can get the link there, or even KXL.org. And it will take literally about 2 minutes. It's just like any other online purchase you might make. You just fill in your name, how much you want to contribute. You can pick out your thank you gift and give us your contact information and how we can facilitate payment of said contribution. So super easy.
All right. That's the voice of Cheryl Snyder, General Manager for Arts and Culture. Thanks for coming on the show, Cheryl. Anything else you want to add?
I just want to say huge thanks to everybody who helped make this such a great month. Not only all of you wonderful people who signed on as members for the first time, but we had a number of businesses supporting us with extra special goodies and thank you gifts all month. So it's just, you know, great community effort here.
All right, Cheryl, thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Support comes from the FC Morningstar, now offering locally caught and frozen at sea spot prawns, coon stripe shrimp, and octopus at Auk Harbor at the bottom of the ramp. The Morningstar will be in port through Friday, November 3rd.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Scott Burton, your host, about 14 minutes past the top of the hour. In Studio A with me now is Bill Williams. He is a service coordinator for Southeast Senior Services. And we're going to be talking about a presentation tomorrow at the Mendenhall Public Library from 2 to 3 about financial abuse prevention for elders, among other things. Bill, welcome to the show.
Happy Halloween, Scott.
Yeah, happy Halloween to you too, Bill. So let's start at the top, Southeast Senior Services. What do you guys do?
Well, Southeast Senior Services is a branch of Catholic Community Services, which consists of Child and Family Services, Hospice and Home Health, and Southeast Senior Services. We serve the elders in our community, but not just in our community, also in the whole Southeast. And we do everything from caravan, which transports people here and there, and Meals on Wheels, which delivers lunches, good lunches to families that can't get out, seniors that can't get out. But And we, you know, we have service coordinators and case managements to try to provide things for people who find it difficult to provide for themselves.
Got it. So you're a service coordinator.
Yes.
Tomorrow, will you be leading this presentation?
I'm hosting it.
Hosting.
Not leading it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But tell me about a day in your life. Well, who do you see and how do you assist them?
Well, I'm a service coordinator underneath a federal grant, a HUD grant. And the people who are underneath my particular grant is Alaska Native elders who live in public housing. And so what you're dealing with is older people who are poor and are struggling. And these in the Native community, there's a lot of difficulties, as there is in all of our communities. And what I do is I go in and I try to see what can I do to help them live more independently and stay in their houses for longer. I spend a lot of time at the Department of Public Assistance and Social Security, but I also go to the doctor's appointments with some of them to help them communicate with their doctors. I also help out trying to get them food and transportation, just to, you know, to be able to live life and enjoy life in their independently in their own houses.
Before we went on the air, you said you were surprised by how many struggles and challenges our elderly population faces.
Yeah. I lived in Juneau for a little over 5 years before I got this job, and there's a whole different side of life that I missed, that I see now. You know, I have this one person that they're homebound. They don't get out very much. And really, there's not a whole lot of things as far as money and food and transportation because they don't go out, and a lot of that stuff's brought to them. But because of their situation, they're just solitary and they're alone. And I get a call from them probably 3-4 times a week, and I'll talk to them for about 30 minutes on the phone. And to me, it's something that, you know, it's not very much of my time, and so I'll just have a conversation and listen to what's going on. And it surprised me about a month ago when they said, I appreciate you being my friend. And you don't always see it that way, this is my client, you know, and I'm doing for them what I can, and I care for their situation. But to have them come at me and say that I'm their friend, and it puts a whole new lens on what I do, you know, that these people appreciate someone caring for them and deem that as friendship.
Thinking of, say, this individual in particular, you were also telling me how, you know, going out and doing things, let's say going to the DMV or going out and getting food, or these are not necessarily easy things. And you were saying that sometimes it's really challenging for you.
Well,
I'm sure you can get food fine.
Yeah. As you can see, I do that well, but we, you know, for instance, the Social Security office. I appreciate the people who work there, and I have a rapport with them, but there is a lot of red tape for disability and for Social Security and for Medicare and those things. There's a lot of red tape to cut through, and for me, I feel like I'm drowning some days in trying to wade through the paperwork and trying to figure out what needs to be done and what are the steps to go through to get, you know, your name changed on the Social Security card. And then you take, you know, me, who I'm, you know, relatively young fella that's, yeah, you know, I think I'm, you know, I might not be the brightest candle ever lit, but I, you know, I do all right. And well, and so it's difficult for me some days. I mean, it's work. And so to think that here are some people who may not be able to see well, so they can't read, or they don't hear, so it's hard for them to communicate, and they can't do well on the phone, and you go in, and it's even more difficult for them. And to see how grateful they are when they've tried things and failed, and then you have someone who comes in, and one lady who's a client of mine, she refers to me as her advocate. She's like, I've always needed an advocate. And so, advocate, friend, you know, server, someone to help. That's what I do.
Seems like you enjoy it.
I do. Yeah. It's a fulfilling job.
Tell us a little bit about this, you know, financial abuse prevention for elders.
Okay. Well, one of the things about my job is I provide educational opportunities for the public. And Don Wesley, who works with Clinton and Hyder Regional Housing Authority, she works adjunct with them. She has been gracious enough to volunteer her time to come and educate on financial abuse. And what some of the things that entails, and not to give up too much of it, you want to know, then you got to come tomorrow, you know. But some of the broad topics we're going to be talking about is some of the statistics of financial abuse happening and where those come from. Also, signs to look out for to protect seniors from financial abuse. Also, since this is the internet age, how to have a computer and some safety precautions you can take on that, and email. Also, with calls and scams, we're inundated with those things nowadays. But also to how to identify those who are financial predators.
Got it. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the voice of Bill Williams. He's a service coordinator for Southeast Senior Services. He'll be part of a presentation tomorrow, Wednesday, at the Mendenhall Public Library from 2 to 3. Can you give us an example? Let's say a couple of our listeners can't make it to tomorrow's workshop. Can you give us a couple examples of how people are trying to abuse elders financially?
Well, I know that some of our elders who might not be able to travel well, might not be able to get out of their house, are dependent on people around them who are caregivers, whether it be family or whether it be neighbors or whatever, to say go buy food for them. And so you give them your credit card. And if you're not really up on your bank account, then and not all elders are, then, you know, people could use some of their finances against them, and their finances are very limited. I know there, and we, one of the people who I've dealt with that had some of the lower income, you know, we're talking about they had less than $700 a month to pay for everything. And so you put a situation like that in, and I would like to think that people just wouldn't do that, right? But there are people who do. And, of course, then you have so that's like closer to home for people who can't leave. But then, you know, like say with phone calls, you know, people there's all kinds of scams. At Catholic Community Services, our tech guy, our tech department, our IT department are always on point to try to keep us safe from intruders coming from the outside. And they do an excellent job of that. But that's what they do for a living. Right, that's what they know, and so when you go home and you know you have your email accounts, and you know who knows if you click on something, where's it going to lead you to, or what's going to be put on your computer, or ransomware, and so just to be able to know how to manage those situations a little better.
Okay, again, this is tomorrow, Wednesday, from 2 to 3 at the Mendenhall Public Library. If somebody can't make it, Bill, or they're not a client of yours, how can they either become one or get more information?
Well, if you would like more information about Southeast Senior Services, you can call us. Our number is 463 107 is my number, and you're more than welcome to call that and leave a message, and I'll get you into the area that you need to go to. We're here to serve the community. And so if you need any information, you'd like to get, you know, into some of our services, or you know someone who you think has been abused or is being abused, you can call us, and we will report those instances, and you can remain anonymous. We have a program called the Gatekeeper Program that does exactly that, works with institutions like banks and libraries and such to train people to look out for such things.
Okay. In the meantime, you can meet Bill in person at the Financial Abuse Prevention Workshop tomorrow, 2 to 3, the Mendenhall Public Library.
At the large conference room.
Okay. And again, his number is 463-6107.
That's it.
You can give Bill a call if you need any help. Bill, thanks for coming on the show today. Thanks for doing what you do. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share what we do at Catholic Community Services and Southeast Senior Services with the community.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Crooked nose. He lived in Log Hut and they called him Old Man Mose.
Yeah.
Early one morning, I knocked at his door. Didn't hear a single sound. I ain't gonna do it no more. Cause I believe.
Old man.
I believe.
Old man.
I believe.
Old man.
That old man Mose. I'm telling you, I believe.
Old man.
I believe.
Old man.
I do believe.
Old
man. That old man Mose is dead now.
We believe.
Mose kick bucket.
We believe.
Mose kick bucket.
We believe.
Mose kick bucket.
We believe.
Oh, baby.
We believe.
Mose kick bucket.
We believe.
Mose kick bucket.
We believe.
Mose kick bucket.
We believe.
Now look here. I went around to the side and I peeped through the crack. I saw an old man laying flat on his back.
Yeah!
If old man Mose was dead asleep, I did not know. But after looking through that window, I ain't gonna do that no more. Cause I found out.
Old man.
I found out.
Old man.
I found out.
Old man.
That old man Mose, I'm telling you, I found out.
Old man.
What it's all about.
Old man.
I found out.
Old man.
That old man Mose is dead now. Mose kick bucket. Mose kick bucket. Mose kick bucket.
We found out.
Mose kick the bucket. Mose kick the bucket. Mose kick the bucket. Mose kick the bucket. Mose kick the bucket.
We found
out. He's dead.
Galapagos Islands, blood is dripping. There are vampires at work. But they don't wait for cover of darkness to take wing. They menace their victims in broad daylight, stabbing holes in their flesh, then devouring the blood. These vampires aren't bats or castaway Transylvanian aristocrats. They're vampire ground finches. And they look innocent enough. Vampire ground finches sometimes eat seeds, but during the dry season, seeds can be scarce, and their survival options are few. Fly to another island, starve, or see what else nature offers. On offer are large seabirds like boobies. Fluttering onto a booby's back, the finch jabs its sharp beak in among the feathers until blood flows. Again and again, the finch dips its beak in the blood, making a meal of it. Why boobies tolerate the bloodletting isn't known. They may be too preoccupied with nesting. Or it may be there are so many finches that boobies have no alternative but to adapt to a part-time role as blood donors. Happy Halloween. From Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
The Juno Arts and Humanities Council and KTOO proudly present Art Glasses, the monthly, not your typical wine and paint night. And do we have an exciting event planned for November? Fresh, evergreen wreath making with Tamar Green of Miss Scarlet's. Thursday, November 9th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at The Jack. All supplies are included, no host bar. Tickets must be purchased in advance and are available now at The Jack, KTOO, and JAHC.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. We're right at the bottom of the hour. Scott Burton, your host today, and joining me in the studio now is Roman Matuka and James Hoagland. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
So nice to have you here. We're going to be talking about the Juno Shambhala Center and a Buddhist film series that starts up this Saturday. Roman, did I get your last name right?
Close enough. It's Matuka, but
all right.
And yours is Scott Burton.
That's right. That's it. Excellent. You guys, so you're both volunteers for the Juno Shambhala Center. If our listeners don't know what that is, tell us about it.
Well, our meditation center's actually been in town for close to 30 years. We're located in the Emporium Mall. Which is just above the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater, which, by the way, is where the film festival will take place. Shambhala is a lineage from the Tibetan traditions with a little dollop of Zen Buddhism thrown in. It basically abides by the principle that all human beings abide with what we call basic goodness or some what's called Buddha nature, that we are inherently good, and that if we discover this in ourselves and radiate that out, that can help you in your life and help society. And that's the second part of this, is that our aspiration is to create an enlightened society, and by that we don't mean a utopia by any means, but to create an environment where kindness and courage and bravery and generosity and compassion shine through to meet the challenges of the day, such as we're in right now.
Okay. James, how long have you been associated with the center, and what drew you to it?
Well, you know what? I actually came to the center before I even lived in Juno. It was one of the first things that I sought out when I was working on cruise ships 4 summers ago. And I was looking for something to do during my 8 hours in port, and I looked up meditation centers online, and I came across the Shambhala Center, and I went in one day, and I met with a meditation instructor, and kind of got some one-on-one instruction and some guidance, and got to sit and meditate for a little while in the center. And it was a really great introduction for me to the work that they do. And so when I moved here a few months later, I started going and participating in the various programs that they have. So about 4 years ago now.
And Roman, how about you? How long have you been associated with the center?
I've been with them for 20 years.
Right. I suspect you've done a lot of meditating in those 20 years. What does meditation do for you?
Gosh, that's a variety of things. You know, mindfulness meditation is quite a bit in the news these days, but it's something that has been going on for millennia and millennium. It goes way back in history. But Western society has sort of discovered it, in quotes. What it's done for me is to help me be present, be mindful, to develop kindness towards myself, kindness towards others, and a feeling of compassion, and to see my emotions as they rise up and see what they are, and see my thoughts and as they rise up and see what they are. If For me, I'm a scientist by profession, retired now, but I'm just curious. And the path of Buddhism is really an exploration of mind and how mind works and what mind is. So that has been my attraction.
James, thinking back to that first session with your instructor, or thinking to how instructors maybe speak today, what are some of the first things you learn in how to meditate?
One of the first things that I mean, to this day, when I sit down to meditate, the first thing for me is just feeling my physical body. And one of the things that I find helpful in that process is focusing on my breath. So just, being aware of what your breath is doing. A lot of times I find I hold my breath, or it's hard for me to slow down my breath. And so it's about that noticing that Roman was talking about, just becoming aware of how my body is working and sustaining my life, you know. You can really just focus on that for, you know, your whole meditation setting is just that in and out of the breath can really help to focus the mind.
And how long do most people meditate for?
Quite variable.
Yeah, it varies.
You recommend at least 5 minutes. I mean, that's a start. And most people can carve out 5 minutes per day. And it's just so helpful just to sit down and just have that 5 minutes of calm and breathing. Try it, Scott.
I invite you guys to do it right now. I'm not sure how well it would work for a radio listening audience.
But other practitioners, we invite people to expand their amount of time they meditate, depending on their life. You know, if you have kids and family, it's a little harder. But I normally try to meditate for up to an hour a day or more. But I've been meditating for 20 years, so it's a little different.
Somebody wanted to come down and try it. What's the best way to do that?
Well, there are noon sittings every day, so it starts about 10 after 12 and ends about 10 till 12. And you can drop in for any amount of time in that sort of lunch hour for working folks. But the room is open and there's someone there keeping time and, you know, kind of keeping watch over the space and there to offer support. And we actually have a really fantastic program coming up in a couple weeks called Level One. And it's basically an introduction to meditation, the Shambhala practices. And we're bringing up a teacher from
Seattle.
Yeah. She'll be leading a weekend-long training. So if anyone's interested in that, we would love that.
Okay. But in the meantime, they can come and meet you or join you for this music, or excuse me, the film festival, film series at the Gold Town. Tell us about the first one on this Saturday, Roman.
We're going to open up the festival with a quite beautiful documentary called Walk With Me, which is a movie about Thich Nhat Hanh. He's a very revered Zen master who left Vietnam during the Vietnam War because of the persecution going on against the Buddhists in Vietnam. And he established himself in the West, but his monastery is located in southwest France. The movie is an insightful documentary into just life that is what is called Plum Village. And to follow up on how to get introduced to meditation. Following the film, we'll have an open house. We're just upstairs from the Nickelodeon, and we'll offer a guided meditation, 20 or 30-minute period of time, where we'll have someone who's a meditation instructor there guide you through meditation and then sit for a little while, and then have open house where we'll have snacks and libations.
Wow. So the movie and you could learn how to
And the
meditate.
Movie starts at 4.
Okay.
Probably an hour and a half or so, and then the open house will immediately follow that with a guided meditation. Yeah, the narration is by Benedict Cumberbatch, I think I pronounced it correctly, which he has a great voice. But I didn't watch the film yet, so I'm really looking forward to it, but I watched the trailer, and it's just got such beauty to it. I really recommend it. And it's not just for Buddhists, it's for the entire community. Just to see what this life is about and what living life in the present moment might be like.
Okay. And then I see you have another film on the 18th.
Yep.
That's called Jupka. This is a much different film from the first one. This one takes us up to the high Tibetan plateaus. And this is a documentary by, I have to get the card out to pronounce your name correctly. Yan Chun Su. Okay, she's Chinese and created this documentary. She actually went up there and lived with the nomadic herders up on a high Tibetan plateau, and she's documenting the change in her lifestyle. This is a lifestyle that's quickly vanishing, in part because of what's going on in Tibet, but also in part what's happening environmentally up there.
Okay, and then I see another one on December 2nd. Why don't you guys come back and see us again before then? And remind us.
We would like to try to do that. Yeah, just as a reminder.
And let us know how these go.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. But, you know, it is a great way to get introduced not only to Buddhism, but the local Shambhala Center and all the programs that are going on there. So we invite everybody to come and check it out.
Okay. If somebody wants to find you online, what's the best place to do that?
JunoShambhala.org is our website. And we're also on Facebook. You can buy tickets online or at the door.
Okay.
You can buy tickets through shambhala.bpt.me. That's Brown Paper Tickets site. So you can buy them, pre-buy them online, or you can get them at the door.
Okay. Excellent. James and Roman, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, just thanks so much, Scott, for doing this great community service you have here this Juneau afternoon.
Well, you're welcome anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 31st of October, 2017, Halloween, All Hallows Eve, the day in which the dead are traditionally believed to walk among the living. Salem, Massachusetts has a Festival of the Dead, goes on for a month. There's a psychic fair, a witchcraft expo every day, and psychic mediums who deliver messages from departed loved ones. October 31st, 1918, marked the end of the deadliest month in American history. 195,000 Americans died in one month as a result of what they called the Spanish influenza. It was a pandemic, more than the American combat fatalities in all the wars of the 20th century. Worldwide, the flu may have claimed as many as 100 million lives. Newspapers were extensively censored in their reporting on the influenza pandemic, hoping to keep American morale up during World War I. It's the birthday of the poet John Keats, London, 1795, who wrote The Ode to a Nightingale, Ode on a Grecian Urn, who wrote, "Beauty is truth, truth, beauty, that is all ye know on earth and all ye need to know," who died at the age of 25. It's the birthday of the filmmaker Peter Jackson, born in Pukarua, New Zealand, 1961, known for his adaptation of The Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson, who dropped out of high school, age of 16, bought himself a camera, recruited his friends to act in a comedy about flesh-eating aliens called Bad Taste. It came out in 1988. It's the birthday of the Dutch artist Johannes Vermeer, sometimes known as Jan Vermeer, who was born on this date in Delft in 1632. He began his career painting large-scale biblical scenes. He was not famous during his lifetime, but he's become famous since for small, intimate paintings of Dutch daily life of the 17th century. Only about 36 of Vermeer's paintings survive. Here's a poem for today by C.K. Williams entitled Repression. More and more lately, as not even minding the slippages yet, the aches and sad softenings, I settle into my other years, I notice how many of what I once thought were evidences of repression, sexual or otherwise, now seem, in other people anyway, to be varieties of dignity, withholding, tact. And sometimes, even in myself, certain patiences I would have once called lassitude, indifference, now seem possibly to be, if not the rewards, then at least the unsuspected, undreamed of conclusions to many of the even then preposterous, self-evolved disciplines, rigors, almost mortifications I inflicted on myself in my starting out days, improvement days, days when the idea alone of psychic peace, of intellectual, of emotional quiet, the merest hint would have meant inconceivable capitulation. A poem entitled Repression by C.K. Williams from his collected poems published by Ferris Strauss and Giroux and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Staples, with copy and print solutions for business, including color copies and presentations, booklets, signage, and more, in stores or at staples.com. Staples, it's pro time. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 15 minutes till the top of the hour, and I have a big part of the cast and crew of MASH playing over at JDHS this weekend only. Everyone, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll start with you, Michaela. How did this come to be?
So this is a really fun script. It's like the sitcom that was on television, and it has a lot of roles in it for a lot of high schoolers. And it's what we call an ensemble show, where they all have pretty much the same amount of meat to them. And so it was a good opportunity for lots of students to bite into.
That must be challenging, though, too, right?
It sure
coordinating
is.
That many people.
It really is. It's been very challenging.
Okay. Since you two are sharing a mic, maybe I'll start over here. Dylan, you're working on the tech crew. How's all the setup going?
It's going pretty good. Set's pretty simplistic, so that's nice. There's not a whole lot of set changes, just a lot of curtain work, so it's not, terrible. There's definitely been shows where it's been like, how is this going to function? And this is not one of those shows, so that's very nice in that regard.
What about music? Are you guys doing music with this one?
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming from right, stereo right to left, next is Dakota. Welcome to the show, Dakota. Tell us who you're playing.
I'm playing Hawkeye.
All right, Hawkeye, I think a lot of people will recognize. Alan Alda, right?
Yeah, Alan Alda.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about this character.
Well, he's pretty much the main protagonist. He's this jokester that comes through just for a little bit and pretty much plays pranks on the whole station just the whole time.
Okay. I can imagine how that was probably important, thinking about the Korean War and these mm-hmm. guys being in such a serious situation, sort of needed the comic foil.
For sure.
All right. William, who are you playing?
Walt Woldowski. He's the dentist.
Oh, yeah? Can you give us a line or two?
Tension, your attention, please. This is friendly all Walt Woldowski here reminding all you kiddies out there in Mashland that tomorrow evening, being Friday, bingo will be conducted in the Painless Polish Poker Parlor and Dental Clinic. 25 cents a card. 5 for a dollar. Winners of previous jackpots are not eligible to win again. Sorry about that. Please hold off on all dental emergencies, if possible. Over and out.
Seems like another comic foil here.
Oh, absolutely.
That's pretty good. Funny.
How about you, Kayla? Who do you play?
Catherine Bridget McCarthy. She's kind of the main head nurse until Margaret Houlihan comes in and takes over.
Okay, do you have a line for us, maybe?
I mean, none of my lines are really that comedic. She's just kind of bossing everybody around.
Yeah. Is she sort of who everyone's sort of conspiring against behind her back? The authoritarian figure? Or?
That's who I am.
Yeah.
Oh,
she,
okay.
She kind of, like, secretly likes Hawkeye and Duke, but she kind of is more, like, reserved in that way, I suppose.
Okay. What's been a takeaway for you all as you've dug into this play and the characters and the dialogue? What's sort of a takeaway? Why do you think... It originally was a book, right?
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it became a movie and a play. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, probably the fluidity of the lines. It's written in a time period that, you know, is pretty different from our own. So hearing the kind of language and the diction they decided to use, it's a little strange. So took a little getting used to.
Yeah.
Okay. How about for you, Dylan?
For me, I think it's cool because this is the first play that I've ever been, like, full-time crew. What usually happens is I end up acting and then I'll, you know, help with set and props and stuff like that. But this is the actual play where I haven't been in it and I've been full-time backstage crew. So it's been really interesting learning how to deal with that and being the only person doing it. It's kind of a challenge, but it's all in good fun.
Has it given you a new respect for the role as a tech person?
Yeah. Yeah, it has. Some of the hardest things are I'll have like 30 seconds to do three different things, and that's always fun. But yeah, it's definitely a new thing, but it's not a bad thing. I like it a lot. It's pretty chill.
Okay, William, how about for you? What's the takeaway from this?
It's a little refreshing because every play I've been involved in before this has been a musical, and there's been lots of dancing and lots of singing, and this feels way more relaxed, and the lines were pretty easy to memorize, and so it's just a nice bit.
Okay. How about you, Kayla?
I think it's really interesting to work with the different character types in the show because you have, like, the more, like, serious, more, like, military-type characters, and then you have, like, Hawkeye, who's just, like, insanely funny just, like, the entire show. So it's really fun to get to work with the different, like, character personalities.
Okay. Michaela, how about you as you've watched this play develop? What have been some neat parts that you've gleaned?
Well, it's fun to watch some kids blossom who I haven't got to see a lot on stage time, and they're getting their turn to really do some nice work, and it's really fun to watch that. It's also nerve-wracking because there's some kids who are having more trouble than the others, and trying to pull them along is a challenge.
Okay. Can you guys give us the details on when it opens and how long it plays, all that stuff?
So it starts Thursday night at 7, and then we have another one Friday and Saturday night at 7, and then Saturday afternoon at 2.
Okay. And admission?
Admission is $10 general. No, that's not right. $15 general and $10 student and senior citizen.
And I'm sure that all supports the Juno Douglas High School Drama Department.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of that department, what's next?
So we're doing a partnership with Juno Lyric Opera and Alaska Youth Choir. We're going to do Into the Woods, and JLO is a part of it, and so is Alaska Youth Choir, along with my students. And it's going to be a really big, wonderful family for these kids to get to see adults acting and help them hone their skills by watching others who have grown up in theater and have become seasoned at what they do. And I'm really excited for my students to get to work with these high-caliber people in the community.
Excellent. Otherwise, you can see MASH this weekend at JDHS.
Yes.
Thank you all for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Go Bears.
Thanks, y'all.
support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping you and your child save for college every step of the way, from diapers to diploma. More information at uacollegesavings.com. Planned Parenthood provides high-quality, affordable health care in a welcoming and non-judgmental environment. From annual exams to birth control options, STD testing and treatment, to cervical and breast cancer screenings, Planned Parenthood offers personalized, compassionate, reproductive health care to patients with or without insurance. Located next to Twin Lakes at the corner of Egan and Glacier. Appointments online at PlannedParenthood.org or 800-769-0045. Planned Parenthood. Care. No matter what. This message brought to you by Planned Parenthood.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. Tomorrow on the show, Shelley Delaney will be your host, and she'll talk with Davita Ryder about First Friday at the Juno Artist Gallery. We'll hear from Kim and Carrie and Emily from the Cancer Connection about a health forum. John Hudson will tell us about the Riparian Zone Trail, and Bree Simpson will be here from the Gastineau Humane Society. Let's take a look at the weather here. It's currently 47 degrees and overcast here in the capital city. And the forecast for tonight calls for partly cloudy skies with a low around 34. Tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 43. Thursday, sunny with a high near 38. Don't get to say that word this often, very often. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 33. And calling for sunny skies going into the weekend with a high near 34. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon.